defending liberty 1 hour at a time and broadcasting live from the RWB Network studios in New York City, this is the Rhino Report. Always right.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
We are going to raise taxes on the middle class.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
You are very rude.
We are going to make America great again.
USA! USA! USA!
My fellow Americans, let's roll.
And now, here's your host, the Rhino.
The new sheriff now.
Hello, hello, hello. I am the Rhino, and this is my report. Today, Tuesday, December 27th. 2016, and we are coming to you from the RWB Network Studios here in New York and live on CRN Digital Talk Radio. Have you guys seen a lot of really happy nerds lately? I'm talking about the space nerds, the Big Bang Theory type nerds. First, you have Elon Musk tells us we're gonna go to Mars, and then they find hydrogen on the Martian planet. The other day, NASA released a picture of a spoon-looking object on Mars, right? It was found by one of the rovers. And now today, scientists are saying they found traces of boron, on the red planet. I can hardly contain my excitement. It almost makes me want to go out and waste $20 on that new Star Wars movie. Coincidence? Let's get to today's headlines. Even though he's the lamest of all ducks, President Obama still has a well-intact ego these days, despite his presiding over the loss of 1,300 Democratic electoral seats during the past 8 years. He proclaimed on the Clinton News Network podcast that had he been eligible to run for a third term, he would have prevailed over Donald Trump. Proving not only has he acquired a few gray hairs in the last two terms, but he may have also acquired a pretty good sense of humor. Also, the UN has passed a resolution banning the development in areas of Israel that have been under Israeli control since 1967. We'll talk about the blowback stateside and what this could mean financially for the United Pro-Arab Nations. And fake news is once again making headlines in the New York Times. This time they're complaining that outlets such as yours truly have flipped their narrative. We'll talk about that and why they're trying to intertwine the idea of fake news with Russian hacking. We have all that, plus Black Lives Matter has teamed up with a leftist advertising agency in New York City. This should be fun. Vice President-elect Mike Pence gets to have a good laugh when he looks out of his kitchen window these days. And is crooked Hillary Clinton gearing up for a run in 2017? And no, I do not mean an actual jog. She's way too frail for that. But first, let's kick this show off the same way we always do, with a salute to our country with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty justice for all. So, you guys gotta check out rhinoreport.com. New week, same website. You have new articles there, new videos there, new rhino rants there, and you can sign up for the newsletter there. Tons of cool stuff there. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Rhino, R-Y-N-O, on air. Also on Gab at Rhino on air. Same name. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRhinoReport. You can always email me, rhino@rwbnetwork.com. Do not go anywhere. Alright guys, quick little break. Now we're off and running. Big shout outs to everyone listening right now. Red Nation Rising Radio, the Liberty Feed, as well as streamingtalkradio.com and the replay at night, klrnradio.com. That's midnight Eastern, Tuesday through Saturday. You can always find us, your favorite podcasting platform with your brand new gadget you got on Sunday. either on iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, or iHeartRadio. And yes, we are live today. We had a little couple of days off there, unplanned. Sort of unplanned. What happened was Friday was the 23rd. And the 23rd of December is when I start to think about what I'm going to buy for Christmas. What kind of presents I'm going to get for people. That's when it starts to cross my mind that this is actually happening and there's nothing I can do to stop it. So that got in the way. So we replayed the weekend show we did Thursday on Friday. And then, of course, Christmas is sort of what happens when you have like that unstoppable object, the immovable object, or whatever it's called. It's a culmination of a month and a half of just gearing up, ready to go, and then you slam face first into Christmas. And, of course, the next day, it's like that holiday hangover, so there was no live show yesterday. But we're back today. I hope you guys had a Merry Christmas, by the way. I mean, fun? Are you tired now? Like I said, that holiday hangover. I don't know. Everyone's got these gadgets now, and they're buzzing, and they're beeping, and the kids take over the living room with their new PlayStations or Xboxes or whatever the kids are getting. And the new thing to take over the world now is Legos. Legos are huge. Every living room in America right now is the new capital of the Lego universe. See, when I was a kid, we didn't really have Legos. I mean, they were around. I just didn't get those types of things because they were sort of expensive. I got things called Lincoln Logs. Yeah, Lincoln Logs. Here you go, son. Play with some sticks. That's what we got. Oh, we put notches in them, too. So you can build a log cabin, and then you can knock it down, and you can build the same log cabin with the same 9 sticks over and over again. But the Legos, they have everything. They got Star Wars Legos, they have a Lego movie, they have Batman Legos that were a Batman Lego movie. It's ridiculous. It's out of control. Legos have taken over the entire planet. Also, this the big thing this year with this Google Home and the Amazon Alexa, I don't like these things. I don't like them at all. And I'm not one of these tinfoil hat-wearing people, but they listen to you. They say, oh, you say Alexa, and it lights up and starts listening. Bull. It listens the entire time. I'm convinced of it. Because that's how places like Google got so powerful with their zeitgeist. They knew what people wanted. So they just, everything you searched for went into their database. And they knew how to throw ads at you and where to direct you. And it's the same thing now. It's just their way of trying to build a bigger database of information. Remember the Furbies? I think it was like in the late 90s, the Furby thing. And they wouldn't allow Furbies in like the State Department and the Pentagon. And they said it was listening. And maybe it was Russian hackers. Who knows? But the Furbies, this now seems way more plausible to me that the Amazon Alexa or the Google Home or Echo, whatever they're calling it, is listening to you than a little furry animal. Yeah, see, I don't like that stuff. If I got one, I would just say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Hope you got a gift receipt. I wouldn't use it. I have no use for it. I can, see, we have little computers in our pockets now, and we can take them out, and using our 2 opposable thumbs, we can search for anything we want. Now we've gotten to the point where we're not even going to reach into our pockets anymore. We're just going to shout out in the living room, hey, Alexa, Alexa, what's 20 times 10? Cool, thanks. Like, that's what we do now. We can't even reach in our pockets anymore to take out our little computers. It's getting absolutely ridiculous. Not to mention they say maybe our little computers listen to us too. I don't know. I don't know. Oh, by the way, if you're listening at work today to this show, if you ever wondered what you're standing in your company was, well, today you know. Because anybody that has any sort of standing in their business, they're not working this week. I mean, I'm pretty confident we are now broadcasting to somebody maybe in Colorado, somebody in Michigan. That might be about it right now. Everybody's off. They're ice skating. They're having a good time. They're trying to navigate the Lego sets in the living rooms. They're picking out the little pieces from their toes. So if you ever wondered where your standing was in your company, this week you know. This is like the temp week. This is when the B team rolls in. And me, I can say it about me too. I'm doing my own show. I don't have a fill-in. If you like Rush, if you like Hannity, Beck, Levin, all these guys, all fill-ins, all week, I turned them all down. No, that's a lie. I definitely did not. But that's what it is. It's the fill-in week, and that's fine. That's fine. I'm okay doing it. It shows you my standing in my own company. I worked till 3 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and here I am doing my own show today. So that's fine. But just in case you were wondering, going back to this Amazon, just for a second, and the Google Echo stuff or whatever it is. See, they now know what you want. And that's how they advertise to you and market to you. And all of a sudden, you're going to get stuff in the mail that you never thought you'd get before. So watch what you say in private now, right? But this is a main reason why Donald Trump won. And over the course of the next few days, we're going to do a lot of looking back onto 2016. As I said last, I think it was Thursday or Wednesday, I'm sad to see this year go. This was a great year. I haven't stopped smiling since November 8th. And that's a record for me. But Donald Trump, he had his own zeitgeist, or whatever you call it. He knew what we wanted. See, the Clintons had no idea. They thought we were just so progressive, and we wanted what they were spewing, but they had no clue. Donald Trump knew, whether it was him, or if it was Kellyanne Conway, or Stephen Bannon, or whoever, Paul Manafort, Corey Lewandowski, they knew. They knew we wanted refugee vetting. They knew we wanted to be safe at home. We saw an attack in Europe, a terrorist attack, every 84 hours on average throughout the entire year. They knew we wanted to be safe. They knew we wanted to drain the swamp. Get these corrupt politicians out. They knew that the tax rate, especially among small businesses, is confiscatory. Over 40% when you start adding on state taxes in most states in our union. They knew we wanted a wall. They knew we wanted it. They knew we wanted to get rid of wasteful spending. You know, when they pass a bill in Congress and there's $45 trillion attached to it, well, Kentucky takes a little bit, and Tennessee takes a little bit, and Vermont takes a little bit, and Harry Reid takes a lot of it. That's how it works, and they knew we were tired of it. They knew we're tired of unlimited welfare spending. We're tired of sanctuary cities. They knew all this. They heard us. They looked at social media. They looked at big hashtags like Red Nation Rising and things like that. They knew what we wanted. They did what Alexa and Echo and Google and what they're all doing, but they're doing it for the betterment of our country, not for the betterment of themselves. The Clintons and their whole circle, they pander to the millennial culture. America not only rejected mainstream media, not only rejected progressivism, they rejected the millennial culture. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back, guys. Hang in there. You're listening to The Rhino Report, defending liberty 1 hour at a time, part of the RWB. All right, guys, welcome back to this Tuesday edition of the Rhino Report. Once again, hope you had a Merry Christmas, had a good time, got lots of stuff, at least stuff you want. I would say out of every four gifts you get, I would say at least one, maybe two, you go, huh, that's cool, thanks a lot. It's just the way it is. It's the way it is. You know, here on Long Island, where we're broadcasting from, it's not exactly feeling like the Christmas season right now. It's 65 degrees outside. The birds are chirping. It's not Christmas at all. It's very green. It's very warm. It's, you know, these kids get ice skates or something for Christmas, and you should definitely promote hockey. I'm good with that. But they can't even go ice skating. Even the man-made rinks around here have struggled to keep the ice at 65 degrees, especially the outdoor rinks with no covering. Terrible, terrible. So if you're up north and you got some snow and you're having a nice Christmas weather, I'm jealous. I feel like we're in Tampa right now. It's like warm and sticky. It's disgusting. It's nasty. I hate it. Going back really quickly to this Mars stuff, and I just learned about an hour and a half ago, I guess, Carrie Fisher died. She was, of course, Princess Leia in Star Wars, And, you know, these people will stop at nothing to market their next movie. No, it's sad. I think she had a heart attack or something. They said she was fine a couple of days ago, and of course, obviously, she's not fine now because she's passed away. Also, on Christmas, we had George Michael. Right? He died 53 years old. I thought he was older than that. He was in Wham. Like, Wham was a long time ago. They sang that song Last Christmas. Remember that? Well, I guess this was his last Christmas, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to come up with that. So, yeah, it's been one of these years. Like, everyone just seems to be kicking the bucket. You have Merle Haggard, right? He died this year. Crazy. Crazy. But this Mars stuff, it always seems that they find something new. They got that spoon on Mars. They got a floating spoon, a cutlery set, the face in the sand. All this stuff seems to come out, A, right before a Star Wars movie, right? But also, I think, B, I think it's because this is like marketing for NASA. They've lost just about all of their funding since King Obama received his scepter. And I think this is their way of marketing, because they don't want people like UFO hunters on this planet really finding anything. Like, so they release pictures like 3 or 4 months after they take them, they review them, and they think of every possible thing that some of these conspiracy theorists or these UFO hunters could think of, and MUFON or someone like that. And then they try to figure out ways to debunk all that stuff before they release the photos. And, you know, there's a lot of photos we don't see. It's like when something passes by the International Space Station on that camera they have a live camera, which is really cool if you check it out. I think it's like NASA.com/ISS. When something passes by it, it automatically cuts to a gray feed. Very interesting. But I think they do this stuff to gin up the base a little bit, get everybody excited about going to Mars. They tell us we can't live there, we can't colonize there, but we should be excited about going there. I don't know, find a planet like that's like ours somewhere. I don't know. So, all right, we're done with the Mars and Star Wars stuff. I'm tired of it. The original three movies were okay. I'm just not into that genre of movie. It doesn't really tickle my cockles. I don't get it, but people out there do. They wait in line. They wear their, you know, their Chewbacca stuff and everything. Good for them. Good for them. I'm too busy dancing around Legos to pay attention. All right, so Obama, this guy, he's got some ego on him, doesn't he? He's got some ego, this guy. He's on David Axelrod's podcast. He does this for the Clinton News Network, CNN. And they do it in conjunction with the University of Chicago. Big surprise there, right? And he says that America's tolerant and we're full of energy. He says, I'm confident in this vision. If I had run again and articulated it, I think I could have mobilized the majority of the American people to rally behind it. That's his way of saying he could have won a third term. That's Obama speak. Which is a little odd, since millions upon millions of Obama voters who drank the Kool-Aid the first two times around decided they were not going to drink it a third time around. There's no way, not a chance, this was a change election of the highest order. In fact, you probably can't think of an election over the course of our history that had the same amount of change. Maybe you go back to 1860, maybe. But that would be the only one. The only one. Even Joe Biden, Vice President Biden, he saw the rally in Scranton, Pennsylvania, where he's originally from. And when he saw that rally, he said, you know what? Hillary's done. The goose is cooked. He saw the excitement and the fervor that Trump supporters had. And he knew it. And Biden's no schlep. He may be the only Democrat left with half a brain out there. So Obama thinks he's going to win a third term. And he says something else here I think we need to talk about. Because even as he's leaving the Oval Office, he still wants to divide us. So we'll talk about that. Plus other Congress people that have seen the writing on the wall, but Pelosi doesn't want to listen. To this Tuesday edition of the Rhino Report. Check out all the old episodes, iTunes, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, iHeartRadio, all over the place. You cannot avoid us. So Obama says he can win a third term, no problem. And when David Axelrod presses him a little bit about how and why he thinks he can win a third term, he says this. This is what Obama says. He goes, if we can't find some way to break through what is a complicated history in the South, all right, so I'll interject here. We're going to bring it back to race again. That's what Democrats do. And start winning races there and winning back Southern white voters without betraying our commitment to civil rights and diversity. If we can do those things, then we can win elections. So what he's saying here is if we can further divide the country, then we can win. And we've talked about this a lot the last couple of weeks, about how Democrats and progressives are really good at making little groups and then saying, okay, well, I have 17 little groups here, and together they just sort of tip the majority, and that's how they've been winning since the early 1960s, when you had things like polling and analytics and stuff like that come into play. And that worked really well. The Democrats have done a really, really good job over the last 40 or 50 years of shaping and reshaping our policy and culture. This time they got bit in the butt. Because even though they had the popular vote, and we'll just say that. We'll say she won the popular vote by, what, 2.7, 2.8 million, whatever. Even though there were 3 million illegal votes cast, probably in her favor. But we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. It didn't work. And that's exactly what the Electoral College was intending to do. That's exactly what Essay 68 of the federal papers intended. So you did not have a runaway ideology in this country. And for the last 50 years, it's been a runaway ideology. So it worked. And as much as the Hamilton electors think it didn't work, and it wasn't working the way it was supposed to, it worked exactly the way it was supposed to. No, there is no chance that Barack Obama would have won a third term. He definitely would have drawn more votes in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, in Chicago, which wouldn't really have mattered, or in Detroit. Yeah, he would have. But there were millions of white voters who flipped to Trump. So, no. That's just, the guy's got no legacy. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. All he can hang his hat on right now is that he stopped drilling in an area of the Atlantic Ocean that isn't even under our control, and you'd never be able to get a drill down there. It's like thousands and thousands of feet deep in the canyons. And supposedly somehow spurring the Arctic economy by not drilling there. Democrat economics. We'll take away industry, and that will spur the economy, even though we're going to limit how many fish people can catch. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, right? No, not really. And someone like Marcy Kaptur, she's a representative out of Ohio, Democrat, mind you, she recognizes that they have a big problem. And I'm not sure if she's one of the people who didn't vote for Pelosi and voted for Representative Ryan instead. I'm guessing from the same state, probably. I'm just not 100% on that. She did a piece with the Toledo Blade, of course, out of Ohio. And she says here, I think the Democrat Party has some soul searching to do. On the economic front, it fell flat. It fell short. And that's what she's referring to here, is the fact that Democrats and you have the coastal elites and the lefties like to play identity politics. They were too worried about letting a grown man use a little girl's room than they were about the person in the middle of Indiana who didn't have a job or who was just laid off. And this has been sort of the autopsy everybody has been doing, except for the Democrats themselves. They refuse to look in a mirror. They refuse to have the argument with each other about what went wrong. And that's because when you get into an argument with a big-time liberal, they just call you racist and they walk away because they don't like being confronted with a mirror, with saying, listen, this is not working for you. No matter what you do, you will never have, in our lifetime, a popular vote in this country. It will never happen. So New York and California will not control this country. In fact, if you look at the way things are shaping right now, you have a Republican in the Oval Office, you have the House, you have the Senate, both Republican-controlled. You have two-thirds of all governorships in this country are Republican, and 69 of 99 state houses are all Republican. Not to mention, you're going to have at least one, possibly two or three, conservatives on the Supreme Court. We are set for a turn in the complete other direction from the leftist agenda. We have the power now, not only for Article 5, Convention of the States, we have the power to now amend the Constitution. This is the power nobody's had in a long time. And if they did have it, they didn't know how to use it. Well, guess what? Donald Trump knows how to use it, just how he knew how to use the information he got from the people at these rallies. He listened to what they were chanting, to what they were saying, and he thrived off it. He didn't tell you, he listened, and then he just regurgitated it back to you. Whereas Hillary Clinton just said, we're going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and if you're not on board, no, that's not what Trump did. See, this is what the people wanted. For months and months, people were calling for a convention of the states, and they still kind of are. It's definitely quieted down over the last couple of months. But he has real power now. And the Democrats, they just want to lick their wounds. They want to call people like me and you listening out there, they want to call us misogynists and xenophobes and sexists and all this, whatever. Call us what you want. We don't care. Angry white voters, whatever. They're too busy throwing rocks to count how many rocks they have left in their pile. And that's where they're going wrong. If someone like Marcy Kaptur has seen this, who knows? Maybe she'll flip. I don't know. Maybe she'll flip to be Republican. I think there are a few people that are thinking about it now. And then you have a good take. Even the Toledo Blade, in this article, they say, meanwhile, Republican Party leadership is heavily Midwestern. With the exception of Trump, of course, who's from New York, Vice President-elect Mike Pence from Indiana, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan from Wisconsin, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, and the incoming chairman and co-chairman of the RNC are from Michigan and Ohio. This is the definition of winning from the inside out. And we're pushing the coast to the side, and they refuse to take a good, hard look at that. Well, they're going to have to. Everyone keeps telling me, even mainstream media keeps telling them to do that. No, but they refuse to be wrong. All right, when we come back, I want to tell you about something that's like the map to the stars, but a little different. And I wonder if everyone in this specific community is on board with this. We have a lot to get to today, guys. Hang in there. You're listening to The Rhino Report. All right, guys, welcome back to Tuesday edition of The Rhino Report. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you're at work, if you're in the car, if you're at a skating rink in New York that should be ice, but it's now water because it's so warm out. Thanks for checking out the show today. We were talking about a little bit in the last segment about how Barack Hussein Obama, in his own subtle way, say we have to divide to win, talking about Southern culture and civil rights and winning races down there. Now, speaking of dividing, one of the most divisive groups in this country, of course, is Black Lives Matter. That goes without saying, without question, very divisive. In fact, in my opinion, and I've stated it many times, they should be labeled as a terrorist organization for their attack on law enforcement officers, or their inspired attacks on law enforcement officers. They have Black Lives Matter Global Network. I guess that's their corporate name. They have partnered now with J. Walter Thompson in New York. That's a very leftist advertising agency in New York City. J. Walter right there tells you all you need to know. When you put an initial in front of your name, what that means is you think you're better than everybody else. It means like you're really an elitist. So J. Walter Thompson, remember F. Lee Bailey, L. Ron Hubbard, C. Douglas McMillon, the CEO of Walmart. I mean, that's what it does. I know so many people that have that initial there, you just want to scratch it off. No, what's your real name, guy? Stop lying to me. Don't make me guess. What's your name? All right, so they have this Instagram account, this Black Lives Matter Global Network. I'm not going to give you the name of it, but they posted on Instagram that in partnership with J. Walter Thompson, New York, we're launching Backing Black Businesses, a long-term initiative to support the growth and performance of small black businesses nationwide. In a time when the black community is under attack, it is more important than ever to buy local and buy black. Small businesses provide jobs and economic security. Join us today. Hashtag backing black businesses. And there's a map of all these businesses if you want to buy black. Right? There's 20 of them in the Los Angeles area. There's a couple in Denver, Colorado, Sacramento, California, Chicago, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Atlanta, Georgia, Madison, Tennessee, Philly, and Birmingham, Alabama. The Huffington Post, the Huffington Post, they're saying that there's over 300 businesses listed on this app. Now, my question is, and you know what? I get it. Fine. You want to support your own community? I get that. Did anybody ask the other black business owners who are not associated with BLM about this? Because really what you're doing is you're pandering or you're looking for business from about 25% of the total population. Now, as a business owner myself, I want to appeal to 100% of the population because then I get to increase my revenues. The more people who choose to buy services from me, the more money I make. And the government should be happy with that because the more money, ipso facto, they make. So you've now, because there are people out there, and they're not necessarily racist people, but people who think, oh, if this is a black business that only wants black customers, why would I shop there? And I'm sure there are plenty of black-owned businesses who do not agree with this, and this may wind up hurting their bottom lines because of the assumptions people make. Once again, Black Lives Matter being so divisive, now even in the business community, to people who may have been sympathetic to what they're doing, but not an active member of BLM, they're not out in the streets, you know, yelling to kill cops and fry them like bacon, pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, what do we want, dead cops, when do we want it now? They're not that sort of into it, but they understand what the movement's about. Plenty of people out there, plenty of people who are, whether white, black, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. Plenty of people support causes privately, but they don't want to get involved with it publicly. And now, how is that going to affect their businesses? And as somebody who is part of many small business councils, I worry about that for these people. Because there are people who will look at this and say, you know what, fine, I just won't shop at one of these businesses. And that's unfortunate. And here you go, Black Lives Matter, even now dividing their own community. Very, very sad. But that is Obama's America. Speaking of Obama's America, we don't have much time to talk about this, but we'll definitely delve into it further tomorrow. Israel really took a backhand on Friday. This was terrible. Essentially, what happens was the UN Security Council, they adopted a resolution opposing the Jewish settlements in what they call occupied territories. It's not really occupied. It's been under Israeli control since 1967. And Israel is not happy. Go figure. Donald Trump, not happy. And the U.S. has veto power. In the UN, we contribute 22% of all funds to the UN comes from the United States. We have veto power. And instead of vetoing, we just abstained, which is essentially a yes vote. And they know that. It'll go down in the record as we abstained. But those of us with half a working brain know that's essentially a yes vote. And Israel is saying they have information. Now, we'll again delve into this a little bit more tomorrow. But they have ironclad, quote-unquote ironclad information that says the Obama administration set this up. And this was set up for a reason. Now, the White House is saying, oh no, it was the Egyptians. It was the Egyptians. It was all them. Which we all know Barack Obama's connection to Egypt. See, that's the way it goes. Blame the Russians, blame the Egyptians, blame everybody but ourselves. That is the new Democrat motto. So we are going to finish talking about this a little bit when we come back. I want to talk about this ironclad information that Israel is saying they might have. Also, Mike Pence, he looks out of his kitchen window these days and he gets to have a good laugh at the pro-abortion people. We'll talk about that when we come back, guys. Hang in there. Quick little break. Alright guys, welcome back to this last segment of today's Tuesday edition of the Rhino Report. Lots to get to. We're going to talk about this Israeli and this UN stuff today. We're going to talk about it a lot tomorrow. We have a few stories we'll get to tomorrow too about fake news and the Russian hackers and how they're intertwining these to send one singular message. I think it's very interesting. No one's really made this connection yet, but we're going to try to make it tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. But going back to Israel here, so the UN, the Security Council, they adopted this resolution opposing the Jewish settlements in what they're calling occupied territories, an area of Israel that has been under Israeli control since 1967. You have the ambassador to the UN from Israel, Ron Dermer. He says, we have evidence that we're going to present to the new administration. And if they choose to share it with the American people, that'll be their choice. What they're saying here is that the Obama administration set this whole thing up as kind of a last flipping the bird to Israel as Obama is leaving. And this may be Obama's setup for Secretary General of the UN in a few years. This is Ban Ki-moon's last year. I think he's gonna drop the ball in Times Square or something on New Year's Eve. So this may be part of his setup. This is the United Pro-Arab Nations. It has nothing to do with peacekeeping anymore, feeding the hungry, helping war-torn countries. It has nothing to do with that. It's been pushing a global agenda, a globalist rule agenda, for about the last 20 years. We're just seeing it more now with the advent of social media and how fast news travels. The everyday person is now seeing it. And again, it's your Trump voter that saw this. Now, what they're saying in this resolution is these settlements in this area of Israel have no legal validity, and they are, quote, a flagrant violation. Flagrant violation to live there of international law. Have you heard this language used towards Iran when they launch and they test ICBMs? A flagrant violation of the nuclear agreement? Have you heard that kind of language used against them? Or perhaps when they captured 10 U.S. Navy sailors and held them hostage for a ransom? Did you hear the words flagrant violation anywhere? No. David Keyes, spokesperson for Prime Minister Netanyahu, said, we have rather ironclad information from sources in both the Arab world and internationally that this was a deliberate push by the United States, and in fact, they helped create the resolution in the first place. So we're going to hear more about this. Now, we saw Senator Lindsey Graham, as soon as this thing got passed, he found his manhood in the glove box somewhere. He took it out, he screwed it back on, and he said, listen, we need to get out of the UN, or at least find a way to stop funding the UN. Ted Cruz is now saying, we need out of the UN. I have been saying, we need out of the UN. If we pull our money, that's 22% of all UN funding. They cannot exist. They can't do it. These Arab nations would have to pony up more money, and they don't do that. They keep their money in-house. Hence, Donald Trump saying months and months ago, they're smarter than our leaders. We throw our money around everywhere, when we should have been spending it in-house at infrastructure, building walls, and security. We don't do that. We throw it at these big global initiatives. So, Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Donald Trump, all on the same page. Isn't that interesting? Three people who were categorically opposed to each other no more than 6 months ago. Could the UN be the thing that even solidifies more the Republican Party, the conservative movement? You have every single branch of it right there. And we need to make sure we are on Israel's side. Israel is a great ally for this country, and I stand with Israel. I do. So, all right, guys. We covered a lot today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton, and she's going to do something in 2017. We'll talk about Jill Stein. She wants the DOJ to investigate the election. Go figure. But until then, guys, hope you had a great time. A big thank you to all those serving our country at home and abroad, and a huge thank you to those in the law enforcement community. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for all the hard work. Please stay safe. Please keep it up. We all depend on you. God bless all of you. God bless all of your families. And until tomorrow, I'm the Rhino, and I'm out.